Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Morehead. Laura, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Leanne.
We have a lot to talk about. The city council held their regular monthly meeting this week, and it was quite a doozy. There was a lot of different things to talk about. So we'll jump right into the agenda, first of all, with the downtown Morehead redevelopment TIF District Special Fund Board and developers. They were on the call, and you guys conducted this meeting via Zoom, obviously, to observe social distancing guidelines. And they were on the call and had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we're finding that Zoom is kind of our new normal for meetings, which is working out really well. Actually, I think we're getting a lot more viewers when it's online than we do in public. So it's kind of nice to get additional opinions and have people kind of see what goes on. The first item that we really got into depth with in our meeting was the TIF board and the development of the downtown hotel project. So the last meeting that we had, the developers, which are Luckett and Farley, proposed that the city look into something called PACE funding. And what that is it is a funding opportunity that specializes in energy opportunistic advances for organizations. So a lot of businesses and developers use this funding for renovations, for things like solar panels, or just to become more energy efficient. But there is funding available for those types of projects. So what the developer is looking at is receiving additional funding through PACE funding if the city would pass a PACE district, so to speak, similar to the TIF district, but it's more isolated, it's project specific as well. So that's been the latest discussion there. Myself and Judge Clark, Bob Hilton with Economic Development, and Jason Sloan with the Chamber of Commerce have been doing a lot of research on PACE funding. We talked with the city of Covington, who has done more of it than most communities in the state. It's a fairly new funding model. It's only been in Kentucky since around 2015, and really the last 3 years have been the bigger push of it. But it has pros and cons. So right now we're really just kind of weighing the options and seeing if it's something that we as a city and or county want to further pursue.
Is there anything with the TIF district? I mean, so much has been shut down because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know there was some talk about the downtown hotel and some things that were in the works for with the TIF district group. Is there any updates on development at all yet?
The developers have told us that they still feel confident in the project. There are a lot of projects that are not moving forward in other areas, but they do still believe that this project will be able to continue to progress as they have planned. Right now, once they kind of solidify their funding, that's the next big step. Then they would move into the design phase and do some geotech work and the surveys and kind of some ground observation on the specific lot itself.
But no timeline yet, really, on that.
They have not given us a timeline. They did say they would hope to break ground on this project before the end of the year if everything continues to move forward.
Now, the City Council also heard from the Morehead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce. A lot has changed, obviously, because commerce has kind of come to a standstill in our region, well, everywhere. And so that has really changed the outlook for that organization as well.
It has. And so Jason Sloan has been doing a lot of small business surveys for both the city and the county, trying to gather information and data to show us how businesses are doing and needs that they may have as we go through and continue to go through kind of the reopening and recovery phase of this pandemic. And so he's been reaching out to them. He conducted an online survey, and I think he had, I believe he said he had 73 responses from businesses. 50% of those were in the city. So that was great information for us to have. The most feedback that he received was people applying for loans and then issues that they've experienced with unemployment. And as they move forward, areas that they would like to focus on, which include continuing and being able to keep up with payroll, keeping their staff the same, and still abiding by social distancing guidelines.
I know there are a lot of small business owners that are really concerned about reopening because the only guidelines that they really have are you have to wear a mask. And they're concerned about, you know, bathrooms or how to protect their workers and keep people apart. And there's just so much of that is unknown. The uncertainty is really difficult for people.
It is. And, you know, so many businesses and organizations have had a difficult time finding and affording enough personal protective equipment, or PPE, as we reference it a lot. And so making sure that all of these businesses can find enough masks for their employees and plexiglass to go over their registers if they need that, things like that really seem like small issues, but they're really becoming major obstacles for businesses just because of the lack of availability of those resources or the sheer expense of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next item on the agenda is something that I imagine has been impacted very much by the COVID-19 crisis. The tourism conference center, the arts center, all of this has essentially lost the majority of their funding, I would imagine, since tourism particularly is funded through a tax on restaurants, and most of our restaurants are doing, you know, significantly decreased services. So what did they have to say?
Joy Brown, the director of tourism, presented us with her report, and we also went over their budget this month, their first reading of their budget, and they know that they're probably going to take a bigger hit with loss of revenue than any other organization locally, solely because they're almost single-handedly funded by restaurant tax. And so with restaurants, so many of them closing or limited service available, we know that their revenue is going to shrink. So we did just get our March restaurant tax in. And so if you recall, March was about halfway through is when the pandemic and the closures really started. But there was a $16,000 decrease in their average income for the month of March. And that's just reflective of 2 weeks. So we expect to see that really go up in April. We're not sure how May will play out either, because you do have some restaurants reopening this month, but it's towards the end of the month, so that probably won't be reflected until June. So there is, you know, a major drop, and they've had to really adjust their upcoming budget because of that. So they decreased their budget by around $300,000 to try to estimate and come up with what they're going to have to cut out of there. And again, it's all projections right now, so it's really hard to tell.
Well, just with a loss of revenue with a couple months, that really puts a hit on these organizations and on everybody. I mean, I know the small businesses are hurting, the big businesses are hurting, and a lot of people are still really frightened as we try to reboot and start to reopen different things within the community.
Something else to note on tourism is that they are the single largest funder of the Freedom Fest that we have each year. So they put in $20,000 of grant money to that event. And they had to cut that money this year because we don't know what revenues are coming in. But also, that event itself has been canceled. We're hoping to maybe be able to do something in the fall, but simply because of funding and then social distancing, we weren't sure that we could safely have an event like that and still abide by all of the CDC guidelines.
Yeah, and it's tragic because a lot of revenue is lost because of those events being canceled downtown. I know it
Absolutely.
brings in a lot of people to the area, and that will hurt everybody. The city council also discussed development projects for the city, and I know really the only one, or I could be wrong, but the only one that's really on the front burner is the police station and 911 center.
Right, we're still moving forward with that. We actually passed the bonding ordinance this month on our agenda as well. And so, for clarification, I know it was very confusing. The ordinance reflected a bond of up to $7,750,000. Now, our budget for that project is $7 million, but what they do with these bonds, they increase the amount in your ordinance. So, in the event that you do go over budget, you have that flexibility and don't have to redo bond hearings because it's quite a process to go through all of that. You have to be rated, and it takes a lot of time and can really slow a project down. So, you overestimate on those ordinances just for kind of some protection there. We are getting ready to have all of our bids go out, our request for proposals should be going out in the next few weeks. So we're really looking forward to that, to seeing kind of what information we get back. You know, construction has been really impacted by this pandemic as well. So it causes some fear about the availability of bids that will come in because some businesses just don't have the staff or the manpower to do this work right now. But we're taking all of that into consideration. Our construction management team and our architectural team has been really good guiding us through this process.
Well, we actually need to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Wash your hands, stay home, cover your cough. It's our new reality with COVID-19, and that means calling ahead instead of going directly to a doctor or hospital if you're sick. It means being more patient. We're all in this together, and we all have a role in preventing the spread. So, prepare, focus on the essentials. Protect, keep some space from people outside your home, and disinfect a lot. Get the facts at kycovid19.ky.gov. Prepare, protect, disinfect.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Moorhead. Laura, thanks for again for being on the show.
I'm happy to be here, Leanne.
We want to talk a little bit about the city council meeting that happened this week. There was a lot of new business to discuss. First of all, the municipal road aid cooperative program agreement and resolution had to be revised. What was that about?
That's a typical revision that you'll see almost year to year. So what that is just as road funds change in Frankfort, then we have to revise it on our level as well.
So that one's the easy one.
It is.
There was a lot of discussion we mentioned briefly before the break about the police and 911 center and police station, and the first reading of the ordinance to allow the bonds to happen was approved.
It was. It passed unanimously, which is very exciting. It's another step towards a long-awaited project.
And then also you had a first reading of an ordinance amending the Tourism Commission budget. Obviously, they've been hit really hard. The old budget is kind of out the window because so much revenue that was anticipated is not coming in.
Right. So this amendment was a reflection of their decreased revenues based on the pandemic.
And then also you had to do the exact same thing for the operation of the city government, that budget as well.
That is correct. And we amended our budget in three different areas. So first was we added in additional money to fix the elevator in the pedway that connects over 32 from the Board of Education office to the St. Clair property. That elevator has been out of service for a while. We've been getting quotes and trying to figure out exactly what was wrong with it. We worked with the state to kind of find what we think is a solution. So we're moving ahead with fixing that. So hopefully anyone that needs to utilize that pedway and the elevator will soon be able to do so once we have that fixed. Now, the other item in that amendment that we covered was moving $35,000 into the Moorhead Round County COVID Response Fund. And this will be money allotted to do small business grants. So small businesses will be able to fill out an application if they meet the criteria and apply for money out of that fund. We've really been trying to find a way to support local businesses. We know that there's a lot of federal and state money available, but we want to just kind of show that we're here and we're involved in whatever way we can be locally as well.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there's been some discussion about doing that for a little bit, and it was kind of up in the air whether or not the city would even be able to afford to do that, because you guys are getting significantly less revenue as well.
Absolutely. And so the reason and the way that we came up with that $35,000 was a few months ago, City Council voted to use $35,000 to purchase a stage for downtown events. And so I proposed to City Council, given that we don't know what, if any, events will be allowed to be held this year, that we use that money to aid small businesses.
Right. And well, that's a good use. And I'm sure our local businesses will be appreciative of that move. Do you know at this time how much revenue decrease the city has experienced?
We are estimating and kind of projecting a 20% loss of revenue, but that's just projections based on guidance that we've been given from organizations like Kentucky League of Cities and different places that can kind of help us plan, but we really won't know until we get later in the year. Mm-hmm.
Also, what another item that passed was the first reading of an ordinance amending the public utilities service rates and charges, increasing the rates and charges for water and gas. Now, the Moorhead Utility Plant Board has implemented a few raises over the course of the last couple of years, I guess, and which was a planned raise. Is this one of those? Or is this
it
an
is.
Additional one?
So this started before I came into office, but they had proposed and passed a five-year plan. So this is dependent on it's called a KIA loan. In order to get that loan, they had to submit a five-year plan that showed increases to be able to support that loan over a five-year time period. So these increases are planned for. However, it never makes them easy. Each year during the 5 years, those increases go down from the year before. So I believe last year we had a 12% increase, and this year it's a 10% increase on water rates. There was some discussion with City Council that because of the pandemic, because of people experiencing unemployment and so many issues related to this, should we decrease the amount this year from 10% to 5% and then make up that 5% down the road somewhere? And the council still passed the 10% rate increase, but there was a discussion about it. So that passed along with a gas rate increase. And that, I believe, they couldn't put a percentage on it, but I believe it amounts to about $2 a month per bill.
Now, I know that being public utilities, there was kind of a moratorium on shutoffs for utilities during the pandemic. The majority of the organizations, I think all of the utilities types organizations in our region had done that. Is that affecting their, especially Moorhead Utility Plant Board, since it's overseen by the city? Do you know if they are experiencing a hard hit because of the pandemic as far as financially?
So, like you said, they are not shutting off anyone's utilities if they cannot pay their bill. They're also not having people incur late charges. So, if you do pay late, you're not getting that additional fee. They are expecting a pretty substantial shortfall in their revenue over the next year. And it depends, I think so much on if people have to pay their bill later when that money comes in. But they do expect a loss in revenue as well.
Now, finally, the City Council talked about budgets for the next fiscal year, which starts July 1 of this year through June 30 of next year. And a lot of uncertainty right now, but the City Council had to pass the first reading of the budgets for the Tourism Commission, for the operation of the city government, and for the Morehead Utility Plant Board. All three of those entities obviously are being affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. And although the plan is to reopen before the new fiscal year begins, that's still really uncertain. So how do you plan for that?
We make projections based on the best that we can. Again, like I said, we're following guidance from Kentucky League of Cities and other organizations that are really instrumental in city government. So we went through each of the three budgets, the Morehead Round County Tourism budget, the Morehead Utility Plant Board, and then the City of Morehead operating budget as well. Each of those three budgets have projected decreases in their revenue. There were a lot of items cut out of each budget to try to make up for the shortfall that we're all expecting.
Are we going to see a change in services for people, or is there anything drastic that's happening right now that's going to affect the residents of Morehead?
Right now, in the city operating budget, we did not include raises for any city employees. There were also no raises included for plant board employees or tourism employees. You never like to not be able to provide any type of additional benefit to employees, but unfortunately, that's one of the hard decisions that we had to make this year. So what we're doing aside from that is all of our requests for funding for nonprofit organizations and local organizations and agencies that we do provide some money towards, we left at their existing rate as what they were last year. We did not provide anyone any increases, which again is difficult because there's so many organizations that we would like to continue to contribute to and add to their funding so that they can grow. But we were not able to do that this year. We did cut funding from the Kentucky Folk Art Center. It has been in our budget for the last couple of years, I believe. And the budget committee felt that this time we needed to take that out. There is not a major plan right now that has been presented to the city for a way to find increased funding in the upcoming years. And given all that's going on, it was one of those very hard decisions that we had to make to take that money out of our budget. We are very willing and open to providing some money towards utilities of that building or whatever we can do kind of from that perspective. But the main line item of 25,000 we did take out of the budget.
Right. And I know
The
that would be.
biggest thing that we see within tourism in their budget is they had to really decrease the grants that they give out and then as well as money towards specific events. So we talked about Freedom Fest, but a lot of festivals that they contribute towards had to be decreased as well.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor Laura White Brown, Mayor of Morehead, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.